I expected to lead worship today, but not preach. Van got sick during the night and almost completely lost his voice. So, in God's providence, I yesterday prepared a sermon. I didn't know what it was for exactly, but now I do. Please pray with me. Father, we give these gifts and offerings into your hands. Please use them for your honor and glory and the work of your kingdom here and around the world. Thank you for your holy word and your Holy Spirit. Please work in us, your holy people, we pray. For we are sometimes not very holy. Honor your truth, work through your word, build us up in our holy faith, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm back to my six senses of God's glory intermittent series. Real fast review, there are six, at least, important theological senses of the glory of God revealed to us in Holy Scripture. Number one is his own intrinsic glory, which is like nothing else, and which is part of what it means for him to be God. Number two, in his own kindness, he has seen fit to reveal a portion of that glory to everyone in creation and providence, and to his people in redemption. Number three, we give glory to him. As meager as it is, we do that. And astonishingly, he receives it and is pleased with that. Number four, God receives our glory. Number five is where we've been for a while, and that is God shares his glory with his creatures, with those made in his image whom he redeems. There's a sense that this goes on now. We are being transformed from glory to glory, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, a verse I still wish I understood better, but I believe it. Our experience is not our canon. Neither experience, tradition, or reason ultimately rules, but God's word. It is true. But surely the greatest sharing of his glory with his people is still future. And that concerns the resurrection of the body. Just for the sake of completeness, the sixth sense is that all this business about glory redounds to his glory now and forever. Our current bodies and our resurrection bodies is my theme as a species of God sharing his glory with his people. Scripture does not answer all questions we might want to ask concerning our resurrection bodies. But nevertheless, it teaches that there will be both continuity and discontinuity between our current bodies and our new bodies. And since God's word is sufficient for eternal life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, early on, we receive what he said, and we don't speculate concerning the other stuff. Continuity first, because it's more basic, then discontinuity. The main point, continuity, is that there will be continuity with our current bodies. Ladies, you will still be female. Gentlemen, we will still be males. It is true, in the age to come, our needs will be different, apparently. Jesus said they'll neither marry nor give in marriage. But gender is that we'll have the same gender we have now. And we will rejoice in our femininity or masculinity and our relations with gendered relations with others for all eternity. Two ways to show this. passages that speak of this continuity, and then the example, our example, the first fruits of the resurrection, the God-man, Jesus Christ. First of all, passages which speak of this very idea. Romans 8 is key here. Usually, when the Scripture speaks of the resurrection of the dead, it ascribes it to the Father or to the Son. If no passage ascribed it to the Holy Spirit, I would say Scripture doesn't ever say this. First of all, I'd talk like that. And then I would say, since God is the Holy Trinity, the resurrection is the work of the Trinity. Again, saying what the Bible says and then moving to theology in light of the Bible's whole teaching. But here is a passage that does teach the Holy Spirit is involved. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that would be the Father. If the Spirit of the Father dwells in you, notice the whole Trinity in a clause. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead, that is the Father, will also give life to your mortal bodies. That is these current ones. Because the new ones aren't mortal. They're distinctly immortal. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We have the Spirit now, actually corporately as a church and individually as believers. But in that day, the Spirit will be involved in the resurrection of the body. And we will go from mortal bodies to immortal bodies. More about that immortal aspect in a bit. But for now, it's our current bodies that will be raised. There will be continuity. We will recognize each other in the resurrection of the dead. Oh, there's discontinuity, my friends. But the baseline is not discontinuity. The fundamental truth is continuity. In pause, if I had time to do more with Romans 8, we would see we as individuals are a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is the whole cosmos. Because the world will be made new. There'll be a new heavens and new earth. And some good people have taught the present heavens and earth will be totally annihilated and God will make from nothing a new heavens and new earth. I respect it, but it's wrong for a number of reasons. One is the very way Romans 8 continues with the present creation crying out for deliverance from the curse. Because in terms of the macrocosm, this heavens and earth will be, Colossians 1, reconciled. Christ already reconciled it to himself, it says. And will be redeemed, Romans 8. That is, the work of Christ saves the world, the earth in that sense. It's incredible. The most important truth is continuity between this earth and the new earth. Secondly, there's discontinuity. It is wonderfully new and different and better, and all sin is removed, and there's a great cleansing that takes place, 2 Peter 3, before the new heavens and new earth. We don't understand all about that either, but in terms of the big picture, the macrocosm, continuity between this earth and the new is the fundamental idea. Discontinuity is on top of that, and it's real. Newness. In a similar way, we're the microcosm of the macrocosm. The first thing to say is, it is our bodies that will be raised. You will be you. Oh, you'll be you like you never knew you. That's wrong. You will know you, but you'll be a new you. But it'll still be you. Philippians 3:21, just in passing. I want to make sure I get to the new stuff. Philippians 3:21. From heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. There's our glory theme. Our bodies are lowly right now because they're subject to weakness, sickness, and death. Jesus, as a matter of fact, Jesus' earthly body was subject to those things. I speak reverently. As the second Adam, as the God-man, he was sinless. He never sinned. He was sinless. But he got tired. And he died. But his glorious body, he will not die in his glorious body. And he does not get tired. In a similar way, God will take our lowly bodies. In this passage, Jesus will do it. Boy, the Trinity is all over the place, is he not? In the scriptures. It's by Christ's almighty power he will change these bodies into glorious ones. But notice, it's these bodies. We also see the same point of continuity between our present bodies and our resurrection bodies when we study Christ, the first fruits of God's future harvest. 1 Corinthians 15:23 says, verse 20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. I meant to say 15:20. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits implies a greater harvest is to come. And it tells us what that involves. Of those who have fallen asleep, that is, died in the Lord. Jesus is the first fruits. The full harvest is those who have died in Jesus, in union with Christ, knowing the Lord. Well, the question is, was his body totally destroyed, annihilated? Did God give him a new body in the resurrection of the dead? The answer is, of course not. In John 2:19, he says, I can't turn to all these places for the sake of time. 2:19, he says, standing in the court of the Gentiles in Herod's temple, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They think he's crazy. Obviously, they think of the physical temple in front of them, and so would you and I. But he was talking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised, the disciples believed not only the scriptures, but they believed the words of Jesus. It sounds like they're putting his words on a par with the Old Testament. That's incredible. That's exactly what they do. But notice, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. It's remarkable for a couple of reasons. It's one of the two places where the scripture where the Bible teaches he raises himself. The other is we're going to turn to in a moment. Both are in John. But to our point is this. It's his body, his earthly body as the God-man that he will raise, that he did raise. John 10:17-18 says, I have authority to lay down my body and I have authority to take it up again. The Father gave me that authority. It's his body. It's his earthly body. So back to 1 Corinthians 15:20, if he is the first fruits of the eschatological harvest, if he's the prototype, if you will, of the resurrection of believers, then continuity between our bodies now and our future ones is more important than discontinuity. Are you with me? I take it as clear biblical teaching. Not everything is. I'm definitely a disciple of Calvin, who said you don't speculate if it isn't clear. This is clear. Nevertheless, there's great discontinuity. Give me the fundamental continuity between this earth and the new earth, and then we'll read amazing things about the new heavens and new earth, and we should marvel at them. Give me the continuity between our current bodies and our new bodies, and then, well, here's the next point. There will also be discontinuity with our current bodies. In other words, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm not going to turn back to Philippians 3, 20 and 21, but compare the humble condition of our bodies now. If you're 21 years old and in perfect health, you don't know what I'm talking about. Talk to grandpa and grandma. They'll tell you what it's all about. Oh, my goodness. Children are struck down with diseases and die. The third planet from the sun since the fall is filled with suffering and pain, my friends. And the Creator became a creature to enter into that suffering and pain to deliver from their sins anyone who would recognize their need and believe in Him. That's just astonishing. That alone convinces me this is not a man-made religion like the rest of them, in which people strive to please God and that kind of a thing by what they do. No, this is God reaching down to sinners, becoming one of them, not a sinner, becoming one of them, a human being. God didn't make us as sinners. And the first Adam wasn't a sinner, neither is the second Adam. But the first Adam messed up, and the second Adam saved what was lost by dying for us and rising again. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus, you need Him. You need Him. Talk to one of the leaders of the church. They'd be glad to have coffee with you sometime, to talk to you on the telephone, to do what it takes if you want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can know Him. There's discontinuity because our humble condition, Philippians 3, 20 and 21, compared to our new bodies is, compare the humble condition of our bodies now, sorry I can't talk, with their future likeness to Christ's glorious body. I'm not sure what a glorious body is, but we're going to have them. We're not going to become little Jesuses, I'm not saying that. But He is the first fruits. Oh, He's the God-man, and He's unique. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. We worship Him. We'll always be creatures. But by His power, He will give us glorious bodies. The key texts, of course, are in 1 Corinthians 15. I will read them and then comment on Paul's words, applying them even. 1 Corinthians 15, Remember the Greek background. Greek philosophy did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. When Paul spoke at Mars Hill in Athens, they laughed him to scorn. Oh, some believed, a few, but the others, this is stupid. What is this Jew talking about? Resurrection of the body. That's absurd. None of our thinkers believe in that. Plato himself taught immortality of the soul. The body is evil. The body is lesser than spiritual things. And it's also worse. It's less real than spiritual reality, including God. It's also necessarily evil. Not so according to the Christian scriptures. So contrary to Greek philosophy, writing to a Greek city, Corinth, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44, using the image of sowing seed and reaping plants growing, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. There's that word again. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And similarly, verses 53 and 54, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Before it was a planting and reaping image, now it's a change of clothes image. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Words from Hosea in the Old Testament. Most important thing between our current bodies and our new ones is continuity. That, I hope you got that clear. But there will be amazing discontinuity. Our current bodies are perishable, dishonored, weak, and mortal. Our resurrection bodies will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, immortal. Those match up. Four for four. And then as an addition. And spiritual. Let's go through these one at a time. Our current bodies are perishable. We get sick. We grow old. We die. I knew a man once, and he never bragged. He never said a word. After he passed away, his wife told me. I have about two good illustrations, so I recycle them all the time. You probably heard this one before. He did the rings in the 30-something Olympic Games. You know what the rings are? I cannot believe it. You know, like this kind of thing. Oh, incredible. Now, he was heavier than that, but he wasn't fat. But as I thought about this brother, I will call him John. You know, I make sense the way he moves. It's graceful. He has an athletic bearing to him. Still, he was, good grief, I'm 70. I was going to say he was old. He wasn't that old. He was in his 60s, I think. He was retired. Maybe he was around 70-ish. But anyway, what a sweet man. That man was struck down by cancer and died in a month. Bam! Healthy, bam! Hit him, gone. Just like that. Here today, gone in a month. Whew! Make no mistake about it, our current bodies are perishable. They're dishonored. What does that mean? God created the human body. They're dishonored in death. You put them in the grave. I told the Sunday school class, I don't know why, but when I think of sweet people around here who are no longer with us, I cannot help but think of Bub. How many people remember Bub? How many people were loved by Bub? How many people loved Bub? All the same hands go up. I know it. What a sweet brother. And I didn't know him that long, but he took an interest. He was an encouragement. He was in pain, Van told me. But he never said a word about that. How are you doing, brother? How can I pray for you? Like that, sincerely. And still did hospital visitation and that kind of stuff when it hurt him to do it physically. That sweet man, his body, was dishonored by being put in a grave to decompose. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not how God made Adam and Eve in the first place. And the good news is that is not how it will stay in the future. Our current bodies are dishonored because they're put in the grave at death. Our current bodies are weak. The guy that did the rings, I would like to have seen him then. Before he died, he wasn't doing any rings. You barely get up and barely walk across the room. He was weak. The disease had taken his strength from him. Every Sunday, the pastor or one of the elders prays through the prayer requests. Look at the cancer list here. I'm not going to name names, but you know who I'm talking about. There are people right now in this congregation who have diseases. That too is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way God designed it. It's a result of the fall. And it's not the way it will be in the new heavens and the new earth. Praise the Lord. Because part of the study of his glory is giving glory to us, his image bearers, who originally had it and who lost a good measure of it in the fall. to the point where our current bodies are perishable, dishonored, weak, and yes, mortal. Mortality is not by creation, but because of the fall. As a matter of fact, our bodies are dying even as we live. What a pathetic, sad message, Peterson. I'm just preaching the Bible, and the bad news precedes the good news, my friends. Because the point here is, although it's our bodies that'll be raised and not somebody else's, and not a creation de novo out of nothing, a totally new being. No, it's us. And by the way, continuity between our present bodies and our future bodies is established by the intermediate state. Because although Bub's body, picking on poor Bub here, is in the grave and decomposed, his spirit or soul is in the presence of the Lord. He still exists in that way. And God, who made Adam from the dust of the earth, will be quite capable of getting his molecules back together and raising the real Bub from the dead. But here's the good news. His body will be imperishable, immortal, powerful, glorious, and dominated by the Holy Spirit in a way we could not presently conceive. Spiritual. Our resurrection bodies will be imperishable and immortal, incapable of getting sick or dying. You know, we don't have all the answers to everything about the future. My good wife thinks about these things and says, will there be any more hospitals on the new earth? I said, no. Doctors? No. Nurses? You know what percentage of the population right now is involved in these enterprises? Big time. No more pharmaceuticals? No. They're going to all be retrained. There'll be plenty of time. Plenty of time to learn lots of things, my friends. You have hobbies and interests? Whew. You can explore them for a long time. I want to learn all kinds of languages and cultures of the world. I think they're fascinating. Boy, there are so many books I like to read. I'll have plenty of time. And I suppose the Lord himself will be our teacher. You see, we will learn and grow in the new earth. We'll be without sin. But we will grow, and we'll never get bored of God, who's infinite, because we'll always be finite and creaturely. Do I know what I'm talking about? Not really. Back to the text here. Imperishable and immortal, incapable of getting sick or dying. Powerful and glorious. Instead of weak bodies, powerful bodies. It's an amazing thing. I work 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, editing and writing. I'm thankful for the strength to do it. I try to walk those 5 days a week as well. I enjoy what I'm doing. What a blessing. But I knew a dear old Dr. Buswell. I met him late in life. He was in his 80s or so. And here was one of his sayings. A half an hour in the afternoon is worth 2 hours at night, young man. Well, I take a nap every afternoon if I can. In that day, I sure hope we can sleep because it's wonderful. I enjoy sleeping. But we won't be weak. Our bodies will be powerful. Instead of being dishonored, they will be glorious. That's where we started in this message. Part of the study of the glory of God is his sharing his glory with his creatures. And even as Adam and Eve came with the Creator's hand, crowned with glory and honor, Psalm 8, we're going to be crowned with glory and honor better than they were. Because although they were crowned in that way, they were able to sin. And in that day, God will give his glory with us. Oh, as a creator to his creatures, I get that part. We're not going to become little godlings or something. But he's going to share his glory with us, even with our bodies. They will be glorious. They will never get sick or die again. Furthermore, at verse 44, they'll be spiritual. Surely, in this context, it does not mean they'll not be physical. It's absurd. The chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus, the first fruits, and the resurrection of his people. No, spiritual does not mean incorporeal or unphysical, but it means dominated by the Holy Spirit. What does a body dominated by the Holy Spirit look like? I don't know. You tell me what an imperishable, immortal, powerful, and glorious body is look like, and I'll tell you what. I can't tell you what it looks like. But it'll be something to behold. Even more, it'll be something to feel. You see, what this language is talking about is God equipping us for life on the new earth. Because right now, we're not so equipped, all right? Oh, you might feel like you're vigorous right now. But if you live to 90, you're not going to be as vigorous, my friend. You could be healthy. You could enjoy a good life. But as vigorous as you were when you were 25, uh-uh. But in that day, those things will be in the past. Revelation 21, God will make all things new. And part of that is these bodies of ours will be raised and made new like Jesus' glorious body, that we can forever serve, love, and enjoy him and one another and all kind of worthy pursuits on the new earth as the people of God who belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who alone is glorious and who in his matchless grace shares his glory with his people. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your good word. We thank you for what we can understand. We trust you for what we can't. We thank you for making us in your image, for giving us the degree of health we enjoy now. We anticipate the resurrection of departed friends and loved ones. We anticipate, if we die before Jesus comes back, our own resurrection. And we thank you for these wonderful things that are too much for us. But thank you for revealing them to us in part. We glorify you. And thank you for the glory you give us now and the greater glory you will give us in the future. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.